Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Now everyone should settle themselves and let's just lock into the sermon for just a little while. Luke chapter number 14. Once you find Luke 14, I want you to find verse number 16. Luke chapter 14, verse number 16. Look at me, if you will, for a second. The sermon title this morning is this: My House, My Cow, and My Wife. My House, My Cow, and My Wife. I've preached over 37,000 sermons in my lifetime. You'll never preach up this book. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. Luke chapter 14, stand with me if you will. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse number 16, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. In verse 23, the Bible made it very clear, whatever the concept is that's being taught here theologically, that God wanted the house of God to be full, not empty. There are way too many people that say, I'm going to go to that little church out there because there's hardly anybody there because I don't like crowds. I'm going to tell you something. You aren't going to like heaven. You won't like heaven. God never intended for the church house to be empty. Now, we're not going to lower that for which we stand to draw a crowd. But at the same time, God intended that his house be full. Now, let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Take the sermon and get glory to thyself. I pray, God, that nothing would interrupt the sermon today, not in my preaching it and not in these folks hearing of it. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do something lasting and supernatural in this place in the next few minutes, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I want to tell you the story again that we just read. A certain man had prepared a great and fancy, I think, a fancy supper. He invited many. When it says great, I think that great probably had to do with the quality of the feast that he had prepared. Man, I think he had invited a great number of people to come. He sent his servant at supper time to tell everybody. He said, you go tell everybody the big feast is now ready. And then the people began to make excuse for not coming to the feast. Matter of fact, the very same parable that we see in Luke 14 is almost identical in Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew 22, verse number 5, the Bible says, in that same parable that they even made light of the feast. So a man prepared a feast, and he said, I want you to come. And the people began to make up excuses as to why they were not going to come. And even some of them began to mock it to some degree. You say, what are the excuses that they gave? The Bible points out 3 of them. They talked about their property. They talked about some oxen. And they talked about a wife. That's where you get the title of today's sermon. My house, my cow, and my wife. So, the man had invited all these people, said, I want you to come. Someone said, I can't because of my house. I can't because of my cow. I can't because of my wife. And the man in charge said, okay, that if you're not going to come, we're going to go out into the highways and the hedges, and we're going to compel other people to come in. We're going to go to the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, because everybody's invited to the feast. The others had rejected, and he said, then we're going to send out even more invitations. So he sent a servant out and said, try to get more people. Now, so you all know, this is a beautiful picture of the salvation that's made available to us. He said this. He said, "Come, for all things are now ready." And if I could, for about three quarters of this morning's sermon, I want to talk to you about the wonderful salvation that we have. And I want to talk to you about the excuses that people make up for not being saved. And I think you'll see how ridiculous some of those excuses are. Now, if you're a born-again Christian today, you didn't give, or maybe you did. Maybe you gave some of these excuses, but at some point you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And I think the born-again Christian people today will look at the excuses that are highlighted in this passage of Scripture, and you'll say, those are pretty dumb excuses for not getting saved. The very last part of the sermon, I'll come back to all of us and talk a little bit more about even those excuses applying to you and I as born-again Christians. But this guy prepared a feast. Remember, this is compared to salvation. And he said, all things are now ready. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came to this earth. He lived 33 and a half perfect, sinless years on this earth. He was crucified, buried, and he rose again. Everything is ready for salvation. He completed the plan. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's done all the preparation work for one to get to heaven, for one to be saved. All the work was done by Him. The price had been paid by Jesus Christ. And you know something? All these people had to do in regard to this feast, remember, it's a comparison to salvation. All they had to do to come to the feast was accept the invitation. And just so you know, if you're not saved, Jesus invites you to salvation and everything is taken care of. All you have to do is accept Him as Savior. You accept His invitation. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He said, "It is finished." This man, he said, "Everything's prepared. My feast is ready." Oh, I tell you, I've been saved now for many years. Got saved when I was a 16-year-old boy, and I've been feasting on this thing called salvation, and it has definitely been a banquet. It has been a buffet of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love in my life, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And Jesus says to everyone, all you have to do is come. I've paid the bill in its entirety for your salvation. All you have to do is accept my invitation. All things are now ready. And I'm sure when the man hosting the feast said, all things are now ready, I think he meant the food is all ready. I think he meant the bill has been paid. The tax on the bill has been paid. If you need a dinner jacket, we're going to provide one. All things are ready. You know something, folks? If you're a born-again Christian, Jesus made a feast available to you when you got saved, and He's been caring for you ever since. I don't understand why anybody would want to reject a free salvation where somebody's paying the whole bill and all one must do is humble themselves, realize they're a sinner, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. And He said, I got you from here. I'll take care of the rest. It's all paid for. Doesn't make sense to me why someone would reject, but people do reject it. Now, just in case you're here today, and when I ask this question, your answer is no. Listen, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, no, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I do not know that, Pastor. Well, let me tell you something. There's four quick, easy steps in regard to salvation. The Bible tells us everyone's a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us there's a penalty for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us that the penalty is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That death is a second death. It's talking about hell. You see, we're all sinners. There's a penalty for our sin. That penalty is death in hell. But Jesus paid that penalty for us. See, the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, He died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us, paying the penalty of sin for us. So I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus made it so I didn't have to go to hell. And then He said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, but shall be. He said, look, you're a sinner. If you'll admit it, ask me to forgive you. I've paid your ticket to heaven. I'll come into your heart. I'll save you, and it's a done deal. You can go to heaven when you die. It's not a difficult thing. It's a simple thing. Someone very wisely wrote a gospel tract. His name is Dr. Ford Porter. Many years ago, he called his gospel tract The Simple Plan of Salvation. And it is a simple plan. Oh, it was complicated for Jesus to get her done. But for you and I, we just merely received the free gift of salvation. That's how God did it. Look at, bear with me for a little while. I want to look at three extremely, what I'd call ridiculous reasons that people gave that they didn't want to capitalize on salvation, if you will, because that's what this story's teaching. Let's get started. In Luke 14, 18, it says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." He said, "I got me a piece of property." So, here's a feast. The feast is all paid for. Remember the correlation, free salvation. And they went and said, "Hey, are you ready?" And they said, no, got me a piece of property. Got me a house. I believe this is a very poor excuse because it's not really a good lie. Any man that has the money to buy a piece of property would have surely already gone and seen it before he bought it. You understand the wording there? An idiot wouldn't have the money to buy a piece of property unseen. So I think he would have investigated his property long before buying it. Did you hear how he worded it? He said, "Bought a piece of land, need to go down there and take a look at it. Don't have time to come to the feast." Surely he didn't mean he just wanted to go stare at it for a while. No. I'll tell you something else about his excuse. He's also going to look at this piece of land at supper time. Now, supper time to me is the evening meal. Dinner is at noon. And in Bible times, the family made very big of their feasts, their evening meal. Supper time was at night. You understand, they farmed predominantly. They would eat at night, and you would eat as the sun was going down because you couldn't go out and work anymore. That's when they would have a supper meal. But you bought a piece of land, but you've never looked at it, so you can't take advantage of the free feast. That doesn't make sense. Now you're going to go look at it at supper time when it's dark. How in the world were you going to look at a piece of land in that day and age because they didn't have street lights? How were you going to really check out this piece of land when it was dark anyway? Pretty dumb excuse. Pretty dumb excuse for not coming to the feast. You see, maybe his excuse was, well, you know what? I think his excuse was just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Maybe his excuse had to do with his social standing. He was a property owner, and he wasn't going to go to that feast. He was wealthy. Maybe he was a community leader. Maybe he was a businessman. Maybe he was well respected in the community, and maybe his family was known all over the county. I don't know. But for some reason, this guy was invited to a feast, which is compared to salvation, and he said, "I bought a piece of land. I need to go look at it." And what a ridiculous excuse for not coming to the feast. You know, there are people that use an excuse just like that for not getting saved. Maybe his excuse again. Maybe if I got saved, what would the people that I run with think of me? Now, folks, just say, no, this is an old-time religion church. I share no apologies for that. We're an old-time religion church. There's some people that say, boy, if I went down there to Twin Rivers Baptist Church and got saved, that's an old-time religion church, what would my uppity friends think of that? I'd be careful if I were you, because some of your uppity friends may end up in hell, and you might too. But this guy said, you know, he used his property, he used his belongings as an excuse. "I've got all these things to take care of, so I'm not going to get saved." I'll tell you this. You better take good care of them if you don't get saved, because that's the best you're ever going to have. The day you close your eyes in death, you'll wake up in hell, and your belongings won't mean anything to you at that point. But he said, "My property, my house. I got this house. And I'm not going to get saved because where my house is located." And I'll guarantee you, there are people You go talk to them about the Lord, and they live in a big enough house and have enough money, they almost do this with you. That's a dangerous attitude. He said, my house. Huh. What a lame excuse. What a lame excuse for not getting saved. Let me say to everybody in here, don't you ever let things or a social standing, don't you let who you rub elbows with or how much money you have stop you from getting born again. If you're under the sound of my voice, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and how much money you're worth or how highfalutin you are has nothing to do with salvation. You better get born again, because hell's for the rich and the poor and everybody else. If you don't get born again, you'll die and go to hell. And that's what they call old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preaching. I could throw a little bit more of a fit. I may before we're done this morning, but I'm just here to tell you, this guy said that the correlation is salvation, and God said, I've got it, it's already. He said, I got a house, I got money, I've got a name. If I got saved, I'd be associated with something I don't want to be associated with, but in hell you'll be associated with things you wish you would have never been associated with. Salvation. And I think we'd all agree. When the guy said, my land, I bought it, I need to go look at it at night, at supper time. I'm going to tell you something else about men. When it's supper time, they want to eat. They want to eat. And they want to eat when it's not supper time too. What an excuse. So, my title, my house, my cow, and my wife. What a ridiculous excuse for rejecting salvation. My house, my property. Then, secondly, I see that he said in verse 19, and another said, another gives an excuse, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Can you imagine someone in hell, and you say to them, why are you in hell? He said, my cow. My cow. Evidently, this guy bought himself 5 yoke of oxen. Now, these animals were used to pull a plow. Farming was probably his work or his job. But again, folks, look at what a ridiculous excuse this is. Nobody in their right mind would buy an oxen without first testing their ability to pull the plow. He said, I already bought these oxen. I'm going to go out and see if they'll pull. Anybody here know anything about farming? Might be a good idea to know if the ox is going to pull before you give the guy the money for the ox. See, if they didn't pull, you make them into Purina dog chow, buddy. This guy said, I need to go out and try out my oxen to see if they're going to pull. That's not the way a successful farmer would have been thinking. It's just a lousy excuse that he's giving here. Hey, would you buy a car, then after you paid for it, say, I think I'd like to drive it. I want to see if it's going to run. That's not how you do it. Brother Earl, can you imagine buying a plane and then saying, now that I bought it, I think I'll take it for a test run to see if it'll fly. You know, we even try on our shoes before we buy them. You don't have to be real bright to see when this guy said, I bought some oxen, need to go out there and see if they're going to pull. Oh no, terrible excuse. And remember, this guy had been invited to a feast that had all been paid for. Its correlation is salvation. Now God is saying to us, there are people that are using these kinds of excuses. And remember, this happened at supper time, which is night time, and they would have already shut things down for the day. Was he going to go out and plow at night? You know that oxen don't have headlights. Well, they do wear bells. You say, why? Because their horns don't work. You got to have some alarm system. Hey, folks, you don't pay much. You don't get much around here. The oxen would have been the way that the man earned his living. Maybe his excuse was, and listen to this now, this becomes a little more realistic. Maybe his excuse was, I'm too busy working. I'm too busy working to come to the feast. I'm too busy working to get saved. Matter of fact, maybe he thought he'd just work his own way to heaven. There was only one problem with that. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us.
Jesus did the work. Jesus is the one that lived the pure and sinless life. Jesus is the one that died. Jesus is the one that was buried. Jesus is the one that was resurrected. You don't get to save yourself. You know something? I highly respect character. I've written 2 books and numerous sermons on the subject of character. But character is very dangerous for some because they begin to think that because they pay their bills on time, because they work hard, because they put out a lot of effort in life, that that's good enough to get them to heaven. But that is a lie of the devil. You will not work your way to heaven. It is a gift from God. Now, I'm all for working, and I think you ought to get saved, and I think you ought to, thereafter, you ought to work for God. But you don't work to get saved. You work because you are saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Salvation is free to us all. It cost Him, not us. We receive it as a free gift. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hey, did Jesus go through all that? Did Jesus go through leaving heaven, come down here, born of a virgin, live 33 and a half years, a perfect sinless life, get beat to a pulp on the cross, put to death? Did they nail Him to that cross, kill Him, put Him in a grave, get up out of the grave, and God say, "Okay, that's not enough for salvation. Jeff Owens, you'll have to do some too. I'm sorry, that's not how it worked." When Jesus resurrected, God said, "That's enough. That's enough. That seals the deal. Salvation is free to anybody that will have it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe." But it was an excuse. Obviously an excuse. Going to have a feast, which is a comparison to salvation. Someone said, "I can't because of my property, what I own, who I am, my social standing." Someone else comes along and they say, "My cow, my job, my work." Then another was invited to the feast. And he said in Luke 14:20, and another said, "I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." I would have understood this if he would have said, "I married a wife, we're going to be late, but I'll be there." I would have understood that. "But I married a wife, and I cannot come." Now listen, if this were a young married man, I don't know. I think they would have showed up for the meal. You say, why? Any young married man eating a young wife's meal, he would have jumped on a bandwagon of a free meal cooked by somebody else in a moment. He would have said, "Now, honey, I want to go because I want to be neighborly." And on his inside, he was thinking, "Good food! I'm going to have good food! Somebody going to cook like mama?" This man uses his wife as an excuse. Remember, the correlation is salvation. Let me say it to everybody in here. If you die and go to hell, you'll go to hell because of you. You'll go to hell because of you. We use family members and all sorts of people as excuses for what we do and how we are. Obviously, life influences us. But folks, I'm going to give answer to God for me, and you're going to give answer to God for you. And if you die and go to hell, you can blame whoever you want to blame, but you'll be there, and it'll be your fault that you didn't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is he blaming others? Is the correlation being made here that someone would blame a family member that they're not going to be saved? You say, well, Brother Owens, My family, they're Lutheran. I don't care what denomination they're a member of. You either get saved or you'll die and go to hell. You know, I've met people that are Lutheran that are lost, and people that are Baptist that are lost. The issue is not what's the name hanging on the sign in the front of the church. The issue is, are you born again? And just so you know, I'm a Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a Baptist out of conviction, not out of preference. It wasn't just a novel little selection of mine, but I'm here to tell you, remember, whatever church you are, it has no bearing on whether you'll go to heaven or not. Church membership does not save you. It's salvation. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, my family is Catholic. You know, there are people that won't get saved because their family's Catholic. Folks, you either get saved or you die and go to hell. And this guy said, I married a wife. I don't know, maybe his wife said, maybe his wife grabbed him by the ear and said, buddy, we're not going down there to that church that preaches like that. They do it. He said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to capitalize on this because of my wife. If you're here today and you say, if I got saved, Pastor Owens, and got into church, my boyfriend wouldn't like it. Well, maybe it's time to move to New Horizons, because personally, anybody that wouldn't want you to get saved, I got to ask, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with somebody wanting you to go to heaven? It's free. It's a gift paid for by another. And to me, this is ridiculous. This guy that says, my property, I can't get saved because of my property, my social standing, what I own. Somebody else that says, I can't get saved because of my cow. My cow. My work. I'm too busy. Now, my wife. Somebody else. Listen, you say, if I got saved, my wife wouldn't like it. There are others that wouldn't like it. Folks, anybody that wouldn't like you being saved, they're not right. They're not right. All sorts of excuses, and so ridiculous to me. Folks, no matter what the excuse, if you reject Jesus, you'll die and go to hell. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell the truth. There is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. The difference is you've either received Jesus Christ as your Savior or you have not. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and go to that hell. If you do receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will go to that heaven. That's the difference. And these three excuses are so outrageous to me. My house, my cow, my wife. They're terrible excuses. But whatever the excuse somebody comes up with, it's not a good enough excuse. I was going to do it another time. Now, I got to warn you, folks. I cannot tell you how many people were going to get saved later, but died before later came. Hell is full of people that had good intentions. Say, well, I'll get saved right before I die. Okay, when are you going to die? I'd like to write that down so we can take care of you an hour before. When were you going to die? You say, well, I don't know. That's right. It could be in an hour from now. And if you, in an hour from now, die unsaved, in an hour and a fraction of a second, you'll be in hell if you don't get saved. The excuses. Well, I didn't realize how urgent it was. Now, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice, you're understanding how urgent it is. You ought to get saved. You ought to get saved immediately. Put off all the excuses, your social standing, your desire to do it yourself, or the intimidation of anybody else in life that would keep you from doing it. You say, well, I didn't understand it all. I think you make it too complicated. We're sinners. Sinners deserve to go to hell. Jesus is not a sinner. He paid your ticket, so you don't have to go to hell. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And you can talk to the most educated theologian on the face of the earth, and if they give you anything really too much more complicated than that, they're just lying to you. Jesus didn't want it to be hard. You say, well, I didn't get saved because of the hypocrites. All right, go ahead and burn. You say that the hypocrites are idiots. Well, okay. All right, the hypocrites are idiots. You'd have to be a bigger idiot than one of those idiots to one of those idiots cause you not to get saved. Did you know you got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one? I'm not presenting to you God's children. I'm presenting to you Jesus. You're not going to find anything wrong with Him. You look at me, yeah, you're going to find things wrong with me. You look at Brother Edwards, you're going to find things wrong with him. You look at the people in our church, sure, you're going to find some things wrong with us because we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. But I present to you a sinless Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that owns the universe. You're not going to find anything wrong with Him. Say, well, them hypocrites. See, I've come across some hypocrites. I apologize.
If I could get about 5 minutes with you, I could show you how much of a hypocrite you are. I don't think anybody is everything that they think that everybody else ought to be. You say, well, I'm a good person. You can be a good person and still die and go to hell. You say, there's just a lot of things holding me up. Folks, don't let anything hold you up from salvation. If you're here today and you're not sure you go to heaven, get born again. Don't let your social standing, don't let your misunderstanding that you're going to work your way through it, don't let anybody. If you were sitting by someone today and you said, boy, I'd get saved today except for the person sitting beside me, I'd be a little embarrassed. Oh my, don't let anything like that ever stop you. Now, do you see the ridiculousness of the excuse? My house, my cow, and my wife. We all say, how silly. I want to make one application and we'll be on our way. The basic invitation was from the master that owned everything, invited everybody to his house. Well, hey, Christian, you're born again. You took the first invitation for salvation. But wonder if the application here is just serving God and getting into his house. The master says, I want you to come to my house to be a part of what's going on there. But you don't have time because of all your stuff. Your belongings. Your house. All of your things. I mean, that was the first excuse given for rejecting the salvation. I wonder if we behave the same way after we get saved. I wonder if God says, look, I got a blessing ready for you down at the house. Come on, come and get it. And you say, I'm too busy. I got to take care of my house. Got to take care of my stuff. What about my social standing? How about excuse number two? I'm too busy. My job. I think everybody ought to get a job. I think everybody ought to work. But I think there's a way that you can work and be faithful to God too. My house. My job. My family. You know, one of the best things in the world that ever happened to your family, you get them into church. I've watched people say, did you know that spending time with your family does not take the place of you being faithful to the New Testament church? And I am pro-family all the way. Pro-family all the way. I'm for marriages. I'm for families. I'm for people getting as close to each other as they possibly can. But I got to tell you something. I know people that almost turn their family into a god. They don't ever come to church, but they're with their family all the time. Your family's not supposed to take the place of you being in the local New Testament church. All you got to do is study your Bible to figure that out. Wait. The excuse for no salvation was my stuff. My work. And my family. And the reason why you and I are not where we're supposed to be serving God like we're supposed to is because of my stuff. My job. And my family. Could I say we ought to... You were all with me a moment ago when we were getting on the loss for the ridiculousness of turning down a salvation because of those ridiculous reasons. But now, you leave me up here solo. The application is the same. Hey, I love it. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. You say, why did he do that? I'm going to tell you why. Because God loves you. You say, Pastor, you've been a little harsh with a couple of your words. Let me tell you something. I love people. I love you. I love the people under the sound of my voice. You listen to me. There is a God, and there is a real God, and he lives in a place called heaven. And he's for me and you. And he wrote a book to tell us how to do it right. He said, folks, don't turn down my salvation. Don't you turn it down because of work. Don't you turn it down because of social standing. Don't you turn it down because of any human on the face of the earth. And then he said, after you get my salvation, don't go back to the same dumb old excuses. Don't you go back to my stuff.
Don't you go back to my job. Don't you go back to my people. No, keep loving me after that. That's what your stuff needs. That's what your job needs. That's what your family needs. The God that saved you.
I call the sermon, My Cow, or My House, My Cow, and My Wife. I think you see why the title is what it is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I need to be born again. Then you ought to take care of it today. I need my altar workers or those that would be soul winners that would help me. I need you to be ready to help if someone responds to the need of salvation. The first question is this. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? I'm not asking you if you're religious. There are times in your life you realize you were a sinner. There was a penalty for your sin. That Jesus died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you, and you realize you couldn't get yourself to heaven, so you turned to Him and said, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and be my Savior. If that never happened, you're not saved. You say, well, I'm a member of a church. You can have your name on every membership roll in this city and die and go to hell. See, I got baptized when I was a kid. You can be baptized in every lake, pond, and puddle in this whole part of North Carolina and still die and go to hell. It is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? That's what saved you. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and then just put it up very gently? You say, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. How many here would say, Pastor, I'd not lie in church, I'd not lie to myself, not lie to you, and I won't lie to God. I'm saved. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I can raise my hand as testimony to it and let God see it. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm saved. I'm born again. You may put your hand down. If your hand didn't go up then, it should have gone up the first time. If you're not born again, you come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, I turn now to the born-again Christian. You let your stuff keep you from serving God, being in church. You letting your job. And I know, I don't think everybody's going to be at every service, but there are some that could be at more services, be more involved. Are you letting your job keep you from that great Savior? Family? And I'm for your family. But I'd be careful putting your family before God. Who here, a born-again Christian, say, Pastor, when you made the application to the Christian and those things that may hinder us from being in church and serving God, God spoke to my heart. And God reached into my heart and told me there's something I need to work on right there. I'm saved. But I got to work on some things so they don't keep me away from God. Would you, Christian, would you say God spoke to my heart? And you'd raise your hand and say, yeah, God spoke to me right there. Yeah, you may. I see those hands and you may put them down. We're going to have an altar call. It's going to be twofold. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. We're going to stand. Once we stand, if you need to come, if you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You say, well, everybody thinks I'm already saved. We only have to get saved once, but you do have to get saved that once. But if you come and you want to get born again, you just get my attention. I'll be watching what's going on. We'll have someone take a Bible and help you to make sure you're saved. Hey, if you're saved, but you say, boy, I've let some things keep me away from God. Maybe you need to take a moment and get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. Help me not to let things stop me from getting to the feast down at the church. Help me to serve you with my heart as I'm supposed to. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and talk to Jesus for a second? What are you letting keep you away from the church? What's causing you to be away from Jesus? Maybe you ought to come and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I ought to be in church. I ought to be serving God more. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You won't be the only one. There's already people coming for salvation. Don't let your social standing stop you from getting saved. Hell was not created with an economic class system. Rich or poor, hell is for Christ rejecters. Don't you let work. And you can't work your way to heaven, by the way. You cannot work your way to heaven. Hey, and I am for serving Jesus.
But you won't serve Him to get to heaven. You will serve Him because He saved you and He's going to take you to heaven. And we do it out of a love and an admiration and respect for what He did for us in salvation. And then people, don't let anybody stop you from getting saved. Hey, and don't let someone stop you from being faithful to God. Serve God with your family, not away from God. At the end of this verse, we'll take a moment and we'll share with you a decision that's been made, and we'll be on our way. Thank you. Folks, if you'll have a seat very quickly, we won't take long, I promise. Is it Aaliyah? Aaliyah Woods. Aaliyah is 7. And today, Aaliyah realized that she was not born again, and she asked Jesus to come into her heart and save her. So Aaliyah got saved today. That's just fantastic. People make the Bible far more complicated than what it really is. It was funny to me as I was preparing for today's sermon. I got to tell you what I kept thinking. I knew the Lord would have me to preach from the text. I said, well, Lord, about everybody in our church is saved. Because, you know, we're always talking about salvation. And I got all the way through it. I said, okay, if you want me to preach a sermon about nothing but salvation, I'll do it. And they said, wait, I did have a little hook here at the end. I said, I'll take it. He said, the same excuses people give for salvation are the same ones they'll turn around and use after they get saved for not serving and being faithful to Him. I said, that's why you're God. I said, that's good. You know this book. He said, I do. God wants us to be faithful to Him. Let's get out there and tell a lost and dying world that there is a Savior.